your fault. Baby, it's not mine. Not chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Grass make dab in the middle of it. Grass make dab in the middle. We are grass make dab in the middle of it. Right on schedule.
The secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We've got a fine program lined up for you this evening. We've got a couple of long clips here. We're going to start off with Jerome Corsi because he lays it out this last Friday. And he covers quite a few topics about recess appointments. He gets into Iran. He mentions the New Mexico fiasco up there and the arrest of the Muslims that were captivating these children and so forth. But anyway, we're going to start off with Jerome Corsi. He has quite a bit of information, and I'm going to make some comments after he finishes speaking. So listen to this carefully. This is Jerome Corsi this last Friday.
Please discuss the New Mexico compound. Why not the main story in the news? Were they truly released on $2,000 bail even though they found a dead child? Yes, some of the people were released on bail. I'm not sure they all were. And it was, again, a group of Muslims that, they, you know, are radical Islamic terrorism, one of the imams playing a role in the 2011 Islamic terrorism, one of those incidents. I haven't followed it in extreme detail because, again, it's a very upsetting story of absconding, kidnapping children, abusing them, maltreating them, basically starving them, and then training them to commit school shootings. And as this Islamic group was finally raided, although I think that the FBI was actually reluctant, this entire FBI needs to be revamped from top to bottom. And again, it's another one of the suppressed stories. There's a lot of suppressed stories today. The mainstream media will not cover these stories. And again, I've said to everyone, I mean, I walked 200 miles with the Muslims in Iran looking for freedom in their country, and we are going to follow the forum. Next week I'm going to begin a major effort to get the forum in CorsiNation.com to start covering Iran and be a place where the Iranians can post videos showing an internal move for freedom in their own country to get rid of the mullahs. I do think it can be changed from within. And by the way, yes, I'm aware that President Trump late today canceled Secretary of State Pompeo from going to North Korea because not enough progress is being made on the denuclearization. Well, I think President Trump is doing the right thing. And again, he's not going to be bamboozled, and we're not going to get a fake Iranian deal where we're shipping them cargo planes full of cash. It isn't going to happen. And I think very basically we're going to see here a tremendous turnaround in both Iran and in North Korea. And I'm confident that that's going to be a turnaround that we're all going to be very pleased to see happen, and one that we're going to be able to see expand throughout the Middle East with, I think, could be a new wave of freedom. Okay, let's see. Yes, I'm going to be... Let's continue with the news here. I like the Super Chat. I like all these topics we're getting brought in. There's several topics to cover here, though. This David Horowitz getting shut down by MasterCard and Visa, blocking the freedom center, his Freedom Center, from getting cash is just another indication of how the left wants to silence all free speech from conservatives and libertarians before the midterms. And I don't think there's any doubt about it. One of the things that banning InfoWars in the coordinated fashion in which it was done a few weeks ago from Facebook, from Google, from Twitter, even suspended from Twitter, makes it clear, you know, the left in Silicon Valley, backed by the NSA and the CIA, are now running naked in a field towards the finish line. It's obvious that they are censoring for political reasons. And here's where the Internet Bill of Rights has got to get supported. Here's where we're going to have to go full out to make sure that, you know, with Donald Trump, we do get change in the regulation of the Internet, I think through the Federal Trade Commission, where some of these giants can be broken up. But again, I urge that we've got to go all the way, we've got to go all the way back into Silicon Valley itself, because the godfathers are the Oracles, the Ciscos, the Sun Microsystems that control the operation of the Internet. Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey at Twitter are just, you know, they're the current sock puppets for the hardcore godfathers who rule Silicon Valley. And when Silicon Valley Insider's book comes out, we're going to see exposed how Luciferian it all is. There's a couple of videos out, and I've been posting them on various aspects of Silicon Valley. And just to cover the other thing with the hurricane from hitting Hawaii, as Silicon Valley Insider's book will point out, a lot of the even ancient rituals of sacrificing children and cooking them and eating them, in these, as it were, satanic rituals, much of it traces back to Hawaii. And the Silicon Valley godfathers love to go back into Hawaii in order to begin their Luciferian rituals that involve horrendous deaths and baby eating. I mean, it's again going to be one of those shocking stories as it comes out that I think is going to be a huge bestseller, Silicon Valley Anonymous Insider book. Also, there was announced today that the Internet giants, the Facebook, Google, Microsoft, Snapchat, they're all going to gather at Twitter's headquarters in downtown San Francisco ahead of the 2018 midterms in order to plan their operations for the midterms. In other words, coordinate their censorship to make sure that there's no conservatives, that we have equal access to the social media, and to get away with it as long as they can under this guise of preventing Russia from influencing our election, and that they can determine what is fake news. Well, basically, what is fake news is going to be they're hiring consultants who's favorable to the Democrats. And these consultants, like the Southern Poverty Law Center, are so biased themselves that the obvious censoring is not going to be able to be refuted. It's going to be clear. James O'Keefe Project Veritas made it absolutely clear in his undercover videos just how much the shadow banning was going on. All right, now I think that this, again, is the secret meeting strategy. Remember, we published a picture on Twitter and Gab, and Corsi Nation has been following it, this 2011 meeting where all the godfathers out in Silicon Valley held this little luncheon with Barack Obama and pledged in his reelection campaign to make sure all the social media data went to Barack Obama. The whole thing is basically set up by the CIA, the New World Order, and Silicon Valley, and here we are just willingly telling the intelligence agencies every critical fact of our lives, what we think, what we believe in, all of which is monitored. Google is monitoring through the Android system where we are going, what our location is. Google even admitted it. And these companies are hard, solidly, in the deep state pocket, opposed to Donald Trump, and part of the plan to eliminate Donald Trump. This, I think, is again what we're going to have to be aware of and be fully conscious of as we get into the midterms, that the social media giants are going to be saying it's really the foreign intelligence agents that they're worried about, and that they're worried about the planting disinformation stories from Russia and other foreign agents. What they're really worried about is stories that support Donald Trump. And that's the main thing they want to get rid of, and that's the main thing that they're dealing with. I mean, you know, we've all been, essentially, if we look in the history of the mafia kind of taking over America, and this is the new mafia, the information mafia taking over America, you know, we're all, in a sense, paying protection money here. And what I want to stop, what we need to stop, is that these social media giants are going to have to operate within the First Amendment. They induced us all to come into this forum, this democratic forum. And now they say we're not democratic if we don't agree with their ideas, so that climate deniers can be thrown off. Anybody who wants only legal immigration, well, we're xenophobes if we don't, so therefore we can be thrown off. This is political censorship of the worst type. You know, I don't agree with the LGBT agenda for biblical reasons. Well, we can be thrown off. All the deplorables of Hillary can easily be eliminated under the Maoist cultural revolution that is the next stage. I will definitely go 15 minutes extra today, so don't worry. We're going to cover the news and get into some important topics that I think are the meat of what I want to say today. Part of that is Jeff Sessions. Now, it's clear that Donald Trump has gone and making it obvious that Sessions has to go. It's time for Sessions to leave. Sessions is clearly not going to investigate anything to do, I don't think, and this whole idea that there's these secret indictments and sealed indictments, the sealed actions are not all indictments. I've used PACER, the federal reporting system, for years, and many motions, including search warrants, are often sealed. They typically involve cases for, say, sex trafficking, and there's a lot of investigations going on now for that, under this NXIVM investigation, for instance, and others, and for cases involving deportations and illegal immigrants. But I don't see any evidence that John Huber or others are calling grand juries. And the federal system, you can't indict somebody without a grand jury. So I just don't think it's happening. And what we're finding also is, yes, I think we need, I envision that after the midterms, we're going to begin with getting rid of Mueller. And we're going to get, you know, whether Mueller, I think Mueller still could be gotten rid of in September. And in a couple of minutes here, I'm going to, you know, lay out why I think that. But even today, you had Jeff Sessions under attack by Senator Lindsey Graham and Senator Chuck Grassley, both of whom are long-term colleagues of Sessions in the Senate, both of whom came out and said that he served the Justice Department with distinction, yet his lack of faith in the president and vice versa have now become a distraction. And given that, he needs to go. Now, I'm going to pray that Jeff Sessions, who is a godly man, over this weekend takes what was said to heart by Graham and Grassley, and that he resigns. This is a recess moment. Congress is not in session, and I believe Donald Trump could make a recess appointment to a new attorney general without having to go to the Senate to get confirmation. These recess appointments come up rarely. Stephen Parker, thank you in the super chat. I've seen you donate and contribute repeatedly, and I want to acknowledge to you how much it's deeply appreciated. I really am very pleased to see you with us. Pascal Cunningham, I did answer, I think, what is Gavin? Are there other services? There are others. We are also going to Real Audio. We're looking at other platforms in which we can do the live streams. I hope to be able to announce that in a week or so. But we are making great progress on all these technical issues in Corsi Nation. We've launched our second show, The Secret Squirrels Show. And I think you're all going to enjoy it. It's a great roundtable discussing issues. And I think we're going to be able to make huge progress with new live streaming throughout the remainder of this year. I look forward to having several new shows launched and supporting them through CorsiNation.com. Okay, so I think the attack on Sessions is intensifying. And I think that Donald Trump has reached the conclusion that Sessions must go. And that there's not going to be any downside for it now. Because it's so obvious that Mueller and these other prosecutors have decided to remove Donald Trump by prosecuting him and prosecuting his family, getting Michael Cohen to break, and then going after Donald Trump's businesses. You know, they want everything related to Trump. The Democrats have now decided that they're going to weaponize the Justice Department, weaponize law enforcement, and it's going to be a crime to have been associated with Donald Trump. Criminal activity. What was your crime, Your Honor? Well, he was a good friend of Donald Trump. Throw him away forever. Throw away the key. Now, if that's what the Democrats want to do, and of course they do, because as I'm saying in this new ebook, the Democrats have moved to become a communist party. A communist party is always suppress any alternative views in politics. And the intolerance, you know, the snowflakes in the universities who think that white people are so terrible and have been whipped up into this ideological certainty, moral certainty, that their views need not be challenged, have no comprehension of why the First Amendment was written. That what our founding fathers feared was an established religion. What they feared was that there was not going to be even able to redress grievances to government. That you're going to be so coward in speaking out that you wouldn't dare object to government. Free speech was invented by our founding fathers in order to make it possible for unpopular views to be heard. Now, with an intolerance of the hard left, with the branding of all of us as deplorables, and now the banning of us from social media, the censorship, the hard left is intensifying its attack. The prosecution of Manafort, 10 counts were dismissed on the basis of a hung jury. The counts that he was found guilty of, these 8 counts, like not filing tax form reports, are old violations, some of which stem back to 2004, 2005, 2006, and had nothing to do with Donald Trump. Now, if that's the way we're going to be able to politicize our politics with everybody who you don't agree with is a criminal, at the same time, we don't have any prosecutions at all of Hillary, who is obviously committed crimes with the Clinton Foundation and gets a pass. This unequal double standard of justice is now in the open. Okay, now, one of the key things I wanted to address today was, as I was gone for a few days on vacation while I was watching and getting a little more perspective, I was feeling people beginning to panic that Donald Trump is almost certainly going to be pushed out of office for all these trials that won't end. Plume 1. Does Trump know that he has the support of the people to fire Sessions? He does. It's what we want. Yes, if you... today I was tweeting a number of things, and I have no idea whether Donald Trump reads my tweets or not. But, for instance, I tweeted a couple of things. Let me show you a couple. They're in Gab. I put them in Gab as well. In Gab, I'm sure that they're going to be available to be watched. Let me pick up one or two of them here, where I was trying to encourage President Trump to take some strong action. I said to him, nice job today handling Trudeau in Canada. You really put him in his place. Solid. I said, you know the drill. Time to stop taking punches. The power of the presidency is massive. You're a natural using it. Like you, I appreciate how little lawyers are to be trusted. I said right now, at Real Donald Trump, if you fire at Jeff Sessions, you can make a recess appointment of a new attorney general without a Senate confirmation. Just ask John Bolton. That's how Bolton was appointed ambassador to the UN. You're good at driving the car. Just take the wheel. Voters will applaud. At POTUS. I've been trying to remind Donald Trump that his popularity has never been this high. And the people are behind him and will solidly support the moves that Donald Trump makes in order to gain control of the Justice Department and to end this unequal justice.
I want to expand a little bit on what he said earlier about this recess appointment. And he did that for John Bolton. But the president, during this recess now of Congress, could do what they call a recess appointment. He could appoint a new attorney general and dismiss, of course, Sessions. Then the new attorney general, without approval of the Senate, could go in there and fire Rosenstein and also turn around and appoint a new special prosecutor to look into the problems with the Mueller investigation. And then that would turn Mueller from an investigator into a witness and then knock him out and just close his investigation down with a new prosecutor, a new special prosecutor. So that's really what's going on there. He did mention some other things about the Mexico and the New Mexico, arrest out there, which were let out on bond, on signature bonds, which should have never been. There was a dead child that was buried in there, and there were other inconsistencies, and they were tying them back to East Coast Moolah and everything. It's just really ridiculous to get into those things. But also, he's mentioning now that evidently way back years ago, some of the insiders in the Pentagon approached Trump to run for office. And now that Trump went in, and then they discovered he was being wiretapped, then he turned the tables on him. So he's been wiretapping some of these adversaries here lately. So he's really got a lot of information to go after them. And this is getting very, very dicey and very, very dangerous at this point. Coming up next is an address given by John Whitehead to the Ron Paul Institute just about a week ago in Washington, D.C. And so John Whitehead is the author of Battlefield America, and he really lays out what some of our really most dangerous problems are about SWAT teams and things like this. Listen to this carefully. Here we go now.
Our next speaker, I'm very excited about having joined us for the first time at a conference. We've had him on the Liberty Report several times. We've admired his work for many, many years. John Whitehead was the founder of the Rutherford Institute, which is one of the premier organizations really going to battle to protect our civil liberties. And I'll tell you what, if you don't read John's weekly column, the only hesitation I would have to recommend it is that you will get depressed. You will feel terrible about what's happening to our civil liberties in this country. But if you want to be informed, I'll tell you what, his column every week, if you don't read it, it's got about 50 or 60 links. everything that he asserts in the column, you can go, boom, right there to the source and see exactly the case he's talking about, exactly the incident he's talking about. It is so valuable to read John's work. He's such a terrific writer. The way he articulates what's happening to our society is so compelling, and we're so happy to have him here with us, John Whitehead.
Thank you very much. I hope there's not going to be a SWAT team raid today, because there is. You need to know your rights, okay? These are on the table if you'd like to get one. It says know your rights, and you better know them. I'm going to give you a few stories about the cases that we handle and what I'm seeing happening across the country. But, you know, our founding fathers warned us clearly, the people who wrote the Constitution, George Washington, others, do not have a standing army on American soil. We did not heed that warning, ladies and gentlemen. We do have a standing army on American soil. It's composed of local police across the country, federal agents. How many people in this room? This is another thing. We're talking about the media here. The media doesn't cover these things. How many people in this room know that there's at least 175,000 federal agents running around this country, armed to the teeth, ready to arrest you? How many people know that? How many people know this? 80,000 SWAT team raids occurring annually across this country, annually in America, where they're going through doors, smashing people's doors. For what? Most of the time, they're in the wrong house. Through the middle of the night, kids are getting shot. 80-year-old women are getting smashed face down on their living room rug. How many people? The media doesn't, we're talking about the media here. The media doesn't give a poop about this. They cover it. They're too busy covering what Donald Trump is saying on Twitter to go to the real facts of what's happening in America. I've been doing this for 40 years, talking about these issues. In the early days, people were going, aren't you crying wolf? I'd always respond. The little boy who originally cried wolf, why do people believe him? Because there's wolves. Thus, I wrote a book called A Government of Wolves, from the Edward Murrow quote, which is, a nation of sheep will what? Beget a government of wolves. I'm telling people, you better wake up. There's a battlefield here in America as well. All this gear that local police have today, Kevlar helmets, assault rifles, grenade launchers, night goggles, go down the list, folks, dressed in camouflage outfits now. They're dressed in camouflage outfits. That doesn't look like the army to you? I'm very, very concerned what I'm seeing happening here. And we're involved in a lot of cases that will tell you. There's a lot of good policemen, by the way, who police chiefs that contact me and stuff across the country. They read the stuff. They send me email messages. They're sounding the alarm as well. They're trying to get people to wake up. I had a local police chief contact me about a year ago, and he says, John, I may do something about my SWAT team. And I said, why? He said, the other night, my SWAT team raided a home, and it, unbeknownst to me, was in the wrong home, but one of the police officers put his automatic rifle to a four-year-old kid's head. That's happening. He said, I've got his. I said, you better do something about it, because what we're seeing happening is too far out. I'm from Charlottesville, Virginia. I don't know if you don't remember last weekend or a few days ago. Charlottesville locked down. It's the first time I've ever been right up on a police state. 1,000 police officers, helicopters, MRAPs, all this stuff, circled it, searching bags of people. The police state was there. And you know something? The local people, many of them finally woke up and said, whoa. And were quoting me in the local newspaper and across the country that, hey, martial law. This is martial law in America in small towns. And for what reason? No credible facts. The people they supposedly were worried about, the alt-right, were up in D.C., they weren't in Charlottesville. So what happened? Very much like a training exercise, which leads me to a fellow that we're helping there, and I'll give you a few, some of our cases as I go through this stuff. A veteran, 70-year-old veteran, on his walker. They had a list of items you couldn't bring on the downtown mall, which was cans, razor blades. So we go through the light bulbs, any kind of aerosol can. Well, our friend John Mishka, whom I've known for years. He works with veterans, by the way. He protests at veterans' hospitals because he doesn't believe they care for veterans properly. He went on a downtown mall. You couldn't bring him on a downtown mall, but you could bring weapons. He brought his two pistols, by the way. He looked like a cowboy. And he got in on the downtown mall with pistols, but you couldn't bring a can of Coke on down. Does that make sense? He goes into the local CVS, and he said he loves Arizona tea. Arizona tea. How many people like Arizona tea? Oh, yeah. Well, he bought two cases. He put them on his walker. He bought some light bulbs. He bought mosquito problem. He bought an aerosol can of bug spray and some razor blades to scrape off the decals on his car. He goes in. He asks the store manager. This is on the downtown mall where you can't have any of these items. You couldn't bring them on, but you could buy them. He bought them. He walks outside and swarm 12 policemen surround him immediately and go, "We got to search you, sir." Well, he had asked the manager out loud in the store, so obviously there was an undercover cop in the store, obviously. They were everywhere. And he had also said he was going, on social media, Facebook page, he said he was heading downtown to buy some bug spray and stuff like that. So they do read social media. We know that. They surround him, and he goes, "What?" And one of the policemen actually took his bag. He said, may I search your bag, sir? And he knows his rights. He said, "No, this is a search and seizure. You can't do that. I haven't done anything wrong." Policeman grabs his bag and he's putting it up into his face. This is on camera, and he's staring at it. And he goes, "Oh, look, here, an item." They pull out the razor blades. And they said, "Sir, we're escorting you. You better get off the mall." And he stood there and he said, "I'm having lunch here." They immediately arrest him. Put one of those plastic ties around him. This is a large dude. He's 6'8". They take him to the paddy wagon. This is the far out part. This is a guy who can barely walk in a walker. He's got his Arizona tea and those light bulbs and bug spray. It's pretty dangerous. One of the officers took his foot and shoved him in the paddy wagon, slashing his arm and his knees. They took him to the court and charged him with trespass. We're defending the guy. What kind of mentality is that? This is a guy on a walker. How many people in this room think he's a dangerous man? Well, they took his guns. And this is the funny thing. They took his guns away and all our spray, and he had a friend there. They just threw it to him and said, "Hey, take this home, will you, buddy?" He walked off the mall. What is going on in this country? And that's the question I'm raising, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said, I've been talking about this for years, and people say you're crying wolf. Well, I'm going to cry it a little bit louder, as you're going to see. The battlefield is here, ladies and gentlemen, and I know what a police state looks like. It's one composed of surveillance, perpetual wars, a nation of suspects, militarized police, all the things we're seeing. And, another thing I'm seeing in the government as I work on these cases is there seems to be basically an extreme paranoia in a lot of government officials about American citizens. Here's another thing that maybe the mainstream media hasn't told you. How many people in this room know that the Department of Homeland Security does threat assessments on many American homes? Did you know that? They run from green to red. If you own a gun, a licensed gun, your threat assessment goes up. And you wonder why sometimes policemen, some cases, arrive at people's doors very agitated. We had a case in Texas where a group of policemen came up to a door to a nice couple, which we defended, and asked them, "Is there a certain guy in the home?" They said, "No." And the police said, "We're coming in." They said, "Wait a second, you don't have a warrant coming in our home." They said, "We're coming in anyway." They went in, the husband started arguing with them. So they decided to handcuff the husband, about a 50-year-old guy. Took him outside. He was still arguing with them. So the policemen decided what to do. They slammed him face down on the sidewalk in front of the home, smashing his face. And he took him to court. Basically, no charges were levied. We sued and won the case. But what is the mentality of it? What are we facing here, ladies and gentlemen? Again, we're seeing these cases are legion across the country. And talk about paranoia. How many people have seen the Pentagon video predicting by 2030 major cities across the world, including those in the United States, they're going to probably have to impose martial law? How many people have watched the video? Pretty far out thing. It's actually directed by a Hollywood director who has remained anonymous. It's well done. But it's pretty scary if what they're predicting may happen. And so you're seeing a lot of agitation and things across the country. The thing that you have to be concerned about, and you can't just brush it by, is that everything you are doing is being watched. AT&T has towers in 8 major cities. They work with the NSA. They're all your phone calls, all your email. The post office is X-raying your mail. They're actually photographing it, watching you. They're trying to find out who the extremists are and who the terrorists are in this country. There's a gentleman before me. The National Defense Authorization Act will allow the president, basically, if he thinks you're an extremist, he can send people to get you, and you become a detainee, and you can be taken to an internment camp and taken away. This is the future of America. Like I say, it's a battlefield. We had another very, very important case, and again, we have tons of them that we see happening. There was a fellow named Brandon Robb several years ago, a decorated Marine. One of his main functions was defusing minefields. He also captured rifles, and when we handled the case, Facebook ran pictures of our fellow Brandon Robb holding a rifle, and people were going, this guy's a rifle owner in America. No, he was holding it in Afghanistan. He was holding Afghanistan, but they were kind of pigeonholing him as this crazy guy. But what happened was he had started jogging. He jogged every Saturday morning near Richmond, Virginia, and without his shirt on. He got back home one morning, and he was typing. He has a home business dealing with his money business he does. And he heard a noise outside. This is an astute Marine. He heard cars pulling up. He went to his front door, and whoa, police cars pulling up, SWAT team guys running toward his home. People in their black outfits with their little ties were running toward his home. And he said, whoa. They came to his front door, and what was funny was they didn't have a search warrant to do anything because he didn't own a rifle. The only thing he had in his house that was dangerous was his paring knife, which he cut his fruit with. So they came to the door, and Brandon said, hey, what do you guys, what is this? And they go, we're concerned about your Facebook posts. He's a 9/11 truther. Boy, is he. 9/11 truther. He didn't like Obama's. This is when Obama was still in office several years ago. He hated Obama's executive orders. He was blasting Obama, said Obama should be arrested. He was also playing a private Facebook game called, I think, Dear Mr. Illuminati with his sister and brother. The FBI actually penetrated that and watched that. So they rushed his home, and they said, sir, would you step out? As soon as he did, they grabbed him. They handcuffed him behind his back. They walked him to the police car. He was arguing with them, obviously, because he was going, this is nuts. What are you guys doing? And they slammed him against the fence, slashed his back. They took him to the local police station. He was bleeding badly. He asked for bandages. They put one of those prison shirts on, which he said stuck in the back and hurt him. His mother freaked out, called the ACLU, all groups. No one would handle the case because they said this is a civil commitment, which I'll talk to you about in just a moment. A civil commitment. He had a hearing before a magistrate, a 70-year-old magistrate, who brought in, and this is with a number of other people, he brought in a cassette tape, which I thought no one had anymore. It didn't work, so we didn't actually get a transcript of the hearing. He was actually, the magistrate ordered that he be put in a mental hospital. He was put in a mental hospital. When I heard about the case, I said, this is insane. And so we filed a lawsuit. It took a while. We finally got him out. The judge really shouldn't have been there in the first place. But some of the most bizarre things happened that it lasted 1 week was that he called me the Thursday before the Friday that we actually got him out of a court order. And he said, John, the psychiatrist here is saying he's going to force meds on me. He didn't want the medications. And I'm freaking out. And so the psychiatrist was actually listening on the phone. I said, well, you tell me, you have to have a court order in Virginia to force medications on people. So when this case is passed, Brandon, we're going to sue this guy, which we did. We finally got him out and won the case and sued the police, by the way, and everybody involved. And you know what the federal appeals court ruled? That they had complete immunity, that he couldn't be held liable. And this is happening, ladies and gentlemen, in over 90% of the cases. And this is why you see some of this stuff being prolonged and continuing across the country. And what you're facing, and like I say, is a battlefield. When you have the Department of Homeland Security purchasing from the AT Corporation over a million hollow point bullets, I'm a former infantry officer. We weren't allowed to use those things. Hollow point bullets, because they expand on contact, and they expand and bang. If you get shot in the head like JFK was, part of your skull is going to fly off. You have agents from the Department of Agriculture. They have 320,000 hollow point bullets. Whoa, watch out. Social Security Administration, 200,000 hollow point bullets. What are they running around with hollow point bullets for? And again, let me ask you, what we're talking about the media. Is the media covering this? Why aren't they covering it? They don't want you to know, or they don't give a food? That's the question. So I think what we're facing is something that's amazing. How many people know in this room that there's a database the government has called Maine Corps? Maine Corps? Over 8 million names are on that database. And who are these people? Extremists who in times of distress could be rounded up. Daniel McAdams might be on that list. I've been told I'm on that list by former NSA agents. Anybody out there that's speaking up, taking a stand, and you all should be taking a stand on how in the world are we going to fight back on this thing that we're seeing happen? We've allowed it to go so far down the line. And I'm telling people, if you don't stand for something, you're going to die for nothing. We need a nation of people. We need to start taking control of our government. And people say, well, how can I take control of my government if it's in Washington, D.C.? Well, that's an issue. You can take control at the local level. I'm advising people, say, hey, start these civil liberties oversight committees. Get your neighbors together. Some people are starting to do this. Where you're demanding that your local city council conduct some kind of oversight on these activities. Do you want your local police dressed in black garb smashing through people's doors in the middle of the night? Do you want that? Well, you can probably stop that if you get your act together. How many people are familiar with knock and talk in this country? A very few. Number of cases across the country where police are showing up at people's doors in the middle of the night doing knock and talk. Well, you hear someone banging on your door at night, I would be disturbed. They go to the door holding their pistol, thinking they might be getting robbed. I mean, come on, it's black and white. And the police see the gun. And these are actual cases. In Florida recently, they shot a guy through the door. They saw his gun. Now, the thing is, it's not going to stop, again, if we don't take control. But, you know, the bureaucracy is so large with the NSA, the CIA, the FBI, which in my opinion, by the way, you talk about the deep state. I know these agencies are running the country. They have so much power. They're everywhere. There may be agents here right in this audience watching this. They infiltrate everything. So I'm just telling people, if you want some kind of help in this country, one, know your rights. Listen, the public schools today, I'm getting these kids, law students in my summer intro program, they can't tell me what's in the First Amendment. I had one student last year in my class that she said, whoa, my constitutional law professor started off the year in our law school, and you know what he said? There's one part of the Constitution we won't be studying this year. That's the First Amendment. Why aren't they studying the First Amendment? Do you see it across the country? I tell people you can actually teach your kids the First Amendment, the Bill of Rights. You can teach them at home. In fact, I was on a radio interview not too long ago, and some guy called in and said, hey, I got your Bill of Rights pamphlet, John Whitehead, and my kids are learning the Bill of Rights at home. You're putting all this money in public education, and they're not teaching them civics anymore? They don't even know what's in the Fourth Amendment. I talk to the average cop who can't tell me basically what's in the Fourth Amendment. If you don't know your rights, how can you exercise them? And the other thing they're teaching, the college students, a recent Brookings Institution report shows that 44% of college students say that hate speech is not protected by the First Amendment. Really? 51% say it's acceptable to shout down a speaker you disagree with. 20% say you can use violence to stop a speaker. You guys agree with that? What?
Hell no.
There you go. That's hate speech. Let me tell you, the only way to preserve free speech is with more free speech. I'm seeing the groups clash. I'm seeing the groups clash now in each other's face, screaming, yelling. I'm saying, don't be idiots. Talk. Studies actually show by biologists that the less free speech you're going to get, the less you discuss things, the less you talk about things openly, our prefrontal cortex stops thinking. And we don't analyze anymore. Especially when you've got young people today watching up to 150 hours a month of screen time. They're going numb. They're not thinking. So what I'm encouraging people is speak up. Disagree, because you might be wrong. Remember, all reality is socially constructed. You may be wrong. So find out what the other person has to say. We recently held a symposium in Charlottesville on this issue, saying, hey, it's time to listen to what other people have to say. And again, I'll say it. The future of the country is up to you, ladies and gentlemen. Change can be made if you work to make the change. If you care about America, I hear people, I love my country. Well, if you love your country, you'll get out there and stand for something. You'll go down to that local city council and you'll say, hey, do we want MRAPs? Do we want grenade launchers? Do we want assault rifles? Do we want SWAT team raids without oversight in our community? And I'll echo the gentleman there, hell no, we don't want that. What we want is accountability. How does the Constitution start? Who's the government? We the people. It ain't Trump. It ain't Congress. It ain't them. It ain't the judges. We're the government. So if the government's going wrong, who's to fault? Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
There's a dangerous police state that's been created ever since 9/11. And they built on all the scare tactics and fear tactics within the public at large to militarize our law enforcement, our local law enforcement. And the LEO is another thing they've done, which stands for Law Enforcement Online. And they're networking across on the internet, across jurisdictions between law enforcement. And that means that they're trying to consolidate the law enforcement into a national or federal police force, which with many having military equipment already. So this is getting very, very, very dangerous out there. Now, coming up next, there is a interview that Tucker Carlson recently did with Peter Kersenow. And he was on the Civil Rights Commission. He's an attorney. And He wrote an article about the level of crime committed by illegal aliens, and what he came up with has been suppressed, really. And there was a recent report that was delivered from the Civil Rights Commission, and he released a sort of a counter commentary on it, stating that most of the crime committed by illegals, aliens, far exceeds that of your average American citizen or legal resident. So this is what he has to say with Tucker Carlson. So listen to this and see what you think.
Peter Kersenow knows a lot about this subject. He's a lawyer, a U.S. Civil Rights Commissioner, and the author of the book Second Strike. He joins us tonight. Peter, thank you very much for coming on. So it seems like a simple question to answer, because it's a data-based question. To what extent do people here illegally add to our crime problem? Do we know the answer?
We have a pretty good understanding of it, and it's significant. I heard your lead-in, and you were absolutely right. You have to disaggregate data because the various organs of both federal and state government consciously avoid getting this data. You could probably find out, for example, how many Norwegian prisoners there are in Minnesota, but it's difficult to disaggregate data with respect to illegal aliens, but it can be done. There's something called the State Criminal Alien Assistance Program, and you can extrapolate from that and get pretty reliable data. Now, Alex is very knowledgeable, and that's why it's puzzling that he won't acknowledge the overwhelming amount of data that shows that illegal aliens not only commit more crimes at a higher rate, that is, than lawful residents, but more serious crimes at a far higher rate than lawful residents. So we're not talking about a little bit. He conveniently mentioned Texas to claim that the homicide rates among illegal aliens is 44% lower than that for lawful residents. He chose the one state where it is true that the homicide rate is lower for illegal aliens, by 15%, not 44%. But if you look at every other state, it's significant how much more, not just the homicide rate, but every other serious crime, rape, aggravated assault, you name it, so much more. For example, in New York, 27% of incarcerated illegal aliens are incarcerated for murder, not jaywalking. We did a study, Kirsten Mulder and I did a study with respect to five largest states to see how many illegal aliens were incarcerated for homicide. Texas, New York, Florida, California, and Arizona. 5,400 illegal aliens are incarcerated for homicide. That's just homicide. There are over 300,000 illegal aliens incarcerated. We're talking billions of dollars in incarceration costs and all other kinds of costs. And the base that open borders advocates often steal is that they don't count the millions of offenses and crimes committed by illegal aliens, such as document theft, Social Security, driver's licenses, but also illegal appropriation of welfare benefits, and we're talking about billions of dollars. Let's put that aside and let's just talk about the more serious crimes. John Lott did probably the most methodologically rigorous and comprehensive examination of this by using Arizona Department of Corrections data.
Yes.
And he went over a 30-year period. This was exhaustive, and this is what he does. He's a scholar. And what he showed is that illegal aliens don't just commit more crime or more serious crimes by, say, 5% more or 10% more than lawful residents, but by 250% more. For a long time, when I listened to, for example, people talking heads on television, and you know, at the Civil Rights Commission, every once in a while someone tries to pull a fast one on us, I'm astonished by the fact that we have copious data on this. And it appears as if there are a lot of entrenched interests that want to make us believe that this is not a serious issue. Americans are being slaughtered. Americans are suffering property damage in the billions of dollars. Americans are spending billions of tax dollars to address this problem, both from a law enforcement standpoint, an incarceration standpoint,
and by the way,
social carnage.
You think we'd have the right to know? I mean, maybe Americans would decide, you know, it's worth it. Actually, I want more illegal aliens here. Maybe they wouldn't, but we have a right to the information. That's why I'm so grateful that you came tonight. Peter Kirschnow, thank you very much for that.
Thank you, Senator.
Sounded definitive to me.
See, many of these conceptions are passed on, and you'll hear much of the press say that, no, illegal aliens don't commit nearly the percentage of crime that the normal average citizens. In fact, they'll say it's far less. Well, he comes out of the Civil Rights Commission. This man has the facts and the statistics. And Tucker Carlson doing a fine job up there. The other things that are continuing to go on and they're being publicized, Sarah Carter appears regularly, Greg Jarrett, Judge Jeanine is in there substituting for Sean Hannity. And so then you have, on the other hand, you have all of these scandals that are beginning to unfold that Mueller has promulgated with Cohen and Michael Cohen and other people. Now he's getting into some of the Trump organization in New York. And they're beginning to bring some kind of state charges on misreporting certain write-offs that were possibly paid to Stormy Daniels and others. So I believe this can pose a real problem for President Trump. And because the thing is that only federal crime can be pardoned, but not state crimes. So, you know, the president can provide a shield, an umbrella over those people that have been unfairly prosecuted, but not for state crimes, only federal crimes. So now Mueller's investigation is beginning to get in, and there's rumors that he's going after Trump Jr. also. So these are rumors out there, and Roger Stone and them and Alex were talking about it, Alex Jones on the program, their program just recently, and say this can be further very dangerous. We're getting into dangerous waters. They're continuing to stir them up. That's why the advice that that Jerome Corsi has been giving on his broadcasts and tweets and so forth is for President Trump to make a recess appointment to dismiss Sessions, make a recess appointment at the head of the Department of Justice as a new U.S. Attorney General, and then that Attorney General can in turn dismiss Rosenstein and because he's a witness and further and appoint a new special prosecutor and fire Mueller also. That's really what must be done to try to begin to clean this thing up. And Christopher Wray, head of the FBI, would be someone that you would leave in there temporarily, but you would seek a new appointment for that also, I would believe. That's just, conjecture right now. But anyway, this is what's going on out there in the country, and it's not good. I had a reason to look at Media Matters recently, and I noticed that there was an article about Lou Dobbs in there. And they're calling him a sycophant, about his oogling and goggling and flattering of Trump. But let me say something about Lou Dobbs, and I've been watching and listening to him probably for the last 30 years plus or whatever, however long he's been a broadcaster. And I think most people would find Lou Dobbs to be a very forthright, honest person. I think his integrity is beyond reproach. And for, Media Matters, for one of their writers to call him a sycophant and so that, like that, I think it's a really big insult because the man has a stature that far exceeds anyone in the Media Matters organization. So, I'm firmly for and support of Lou Dobbs. He's an honest person. He reports honestly and he reports with facts. And he doesn't put forward any lies or anything else. So anyway, Lou Dobbs is a good guy and Media Matters really slighted him on this article that I picked up there. Anyway, we're on the secrettruth.com every Saturday night between 7 and 9. We usually, our first hour consists of fresh programming. Our second hour is rebroadcast. And so pick up, come into the secrettruth.com and listen to our program and then email us and give us your opinions of what you think with programming that you would like in the future. So anyway, this is George Butler reporting for The Secret Truth, along with my co-host Charlotte Littlefield Brown. She's off tonight, but she's always done a really fine, outstanding job with us over the years. We will have been broadcasting 12 years beginning November. This coming November 1st, we will have been on the air for 12 years. Seems like just yesterday that we started. But I want to thank each and every one of you for listening, and I hope we can bring a little bit of the truth to you, even though it's the secret truth. Thank you.